Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. TIFF is finished, and after viewing 45-plus movies, I feel pretty good about it this year. You'll be hearing a lot more about TIFF movies like The Fabelmans, The Whale, The Glass Onion, Women Talking, The Wonder, and The Banshees of Inisherin by the end of this year. But there are also a lot of movies that get left by the wayside without all the studios promoting them. So this week, I'm talking about some of these other movies I saw at TIFF from Italy, Denmark, and Portugal that deserve to be noticed. There's a rebellious girl trapped on a remote island, a little prince seeking the facts of life in a firehouse, and a man called Hummingbird whose fate is guided by a series of unusual events. The Hummingbird, directed by Francesca Archibugi. Marco Carrera is a man who places great importance on seemingly random occurrences. Take a fatal plane ride, for example. When he's a student in Florence in the early 1980s, he starts winning big at poker. But when he boards a plane heading for Yugoslavia with his gaming partner, Duccio, that man begins to freak, shouting hysterically at the other passengers that they are all dead, and the seats on the plane are ruined and decrepit, he says. Marco is eventually forced to pull Duccio off the plane, thus missing the flight and their big card game. But what happened? It crashes, killing everyone on board. And Marco, with his deep belief in the significance of his experiences, ends up marrying the flight attendant who also missed that flight. It's just fate. Another important date in his life happened at their summer home on the beautiful Tyrrhenian shoreline. The Carrera summer home every year is right next to the Lattes' house, and Marco has a huge crush on the beautiful Luisa, their neighbor's daughter. But the night he thought he would lose his virginity to Luisa, for whom he would carry a torch for the rest of his life, was also the night when his quarreling parents went out for the evening, his brooding brother Giancarlo got so drunk he passed out, and their sorely neglected sister Adele committed suicide, thus turning all their worlds upside down. The Hummingbird, Marco's nickname as an unusually small child, until a sudden growth spurt in his teens when his father starts getting him hormone treatment, is a wonderful novelistic movie that traces the intricately woven story of Marco's life, his love, his family, his wife, his daughter, and eventually even his granddaughter, but not in any obvious order. The story jumps back and forth between his child, his adolescence, his middle and old age, keeping you guessing as to why he did what he did. And when I say novelistic, I mean literally, with multiple characters coming in and out of his life, making shocking revelations on the way, and calling into question his fundamental beliefs. It's based on the novel Il Colibri by Sandro Veronese, which won the prestigious Strega Prize, Italy's greatest fiction award. And it does feel like a classic story. But what's really surprising is the book was published in 2020 during the pandemic, and the film has to have been made since then. The movie stars Pierfrancesco Favino as the adult Marco, Berenice Bejo as Luisa Lattes, Nanni Moretti as Marco's friend, a psychiatrist, and Cassia Smutniak as his tempestuous wife, among many, many, many characters. Keep an eye out for The Sleeper and be sure to watch it when it comes out. Will o' the Wisp, directed by João Pedro Rodrigues. It's present-day Portugal. Prince Alfredo, played by Mauro Costa, is a pale young prince with curly blonde hair, heir to the crown. He lives in a palace full of statues and painting, recalling his family's dark colonial history. Though the country gave up its monarchy in 1910, his mother still considers Republican and Castilian as the two worst insults in their language. But with Alfredo coming of age, his father, the king, decides to tell him what's what. He takes him for a walk through the royal forest to admire the tall pine trees there, but his father's description of tumescent tree trunks throbbing with sap so excites the lad that he is forced to rethink his future. Now he doesn't want to be king anymore. He wants to be a fireman, specifically one who will protect those phallic trees about which he has an erotic attachment. At the fire station, Alfonso, played by Andre Cabral, a handsome black student, is tasked with introducing the prince to the firehouse and the forest. He introduces him to the other firemen. They practice exercises, search and rescues, resuscitations, fireman carries, and sliding down poles. But for Alfredo, everything seems to have a sexual subtext. Soon, the subtext turns out to be out-and-out sex with the two young firemen rolling around on the forest floor while shouting pornographic and racist epithets in the throes of ecstasy. But can the little prince find happiness in the arms of a fireman, or are his regal responsibilities too heavy a burden to bear? Will-o'-the-Wisp is one of the strangest, least classifiable films you've ever seen. It's an historical, romantic, science fiction comedy, and also an art house, modern dance, musical satire. And it's only 67 minutes long, but in that short time, you'll see Sound of Music kids in school uniforms singing weird songs as they pop their heads out from behind trees, homoerotic exercise montages, and elaborate dance routines on the firehouse floor. I can't say I understood all the cultural references that had the Portuguese viewers in the audience howling with laughter, but I could experience the beauty, the ridiculous, and the shock running throughout this picture. Unruly, co-written and directed by Malou Raymond. It's the 1930s in a working-class Copenhagen neighborhood. Maren, played by Emily Krøyer-Koppel, is a free-thinking teenage girl who knows what she likes and what she hates. She likes getting drunk, dancing to jazz, and hooking up with guys. And she hates authority figures, including her own mother, telling her what to do. But when her family cuts her off and she becomes a ward of the state, she doesn't realize her past actions will have grave consequences. She refuses to cooperate with the doctor, played by Anders Henriksen, trying to diagnose her ailment. So he declares her unruly and out of control and sends her off to a remote island known for its hospital for mentally handicapped women. And she is not mentally handicapped. Sproa Island is festooned with pretty flowers and picturesque buildings where the patients are taught to be submissive, cooperative, quiet girls under the watchful eye of Nurse Nielsen, played by Lene Maria Christensen. They're schooled in sewing, cooking, and cleaning on the all-female island, though Maren is able to secretly meet with a young repairman she meets there. It's a hospital, not a prison, she is told, but there's no way to escape. And if you disobey or even spread bad attitudes, you are strapped to a table and kept in solitary confinement. Her roommate, Sorin, played by Jessica Dinage, acts as the rat, reporting on any woman who disobeys the rules. But as Maren gets to know her better, she soon finds out the real reason for Serena's behavior. She just wants to be reunited with the little girl, her child, they took away from her. Will Maren learn to accept her fate? Will she find a way to escape the island? Or is she stuck there forever? Unruly is a deeply moving drama based on an actual hospital that operated in Denmark until the 1960s. Its many crimes included involuntary sterilization, misdiagnoses, torture, and authoritarian rule. Instead of having a series of stock characters with easy-to-categorize heroes and villains, all the women develop over the course of the film, giving it an unexpected profundity. This film is a lovely and tragic look at a terribly flawed institution and the people it affected. Will of the Wisp, The Hummingbird, and Unruly all premiered at TIFF and hopefully will be released later this year. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.